When the conditioned soul enters the forest to acquire some material gain, the six plunderers misguide him. Thus, the conditioned merchant does not know how to spend his money, and it is taken away by these plunderers like tigers, jackals, and other ferocious animals in a forest that are ready to take away a lamb from the custody of its protector. The wife and children enter the heart of the merchant and plunder him in so many ways. Performed by His Eminence Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. In the forest there are many plunderers, dacoits, jackals and tigers. The jackals are compared to one's wife and children. In the dead of night, jackals cry very loudly. And similarly, one's wife and children in this material world also cry like jackals. The children say, "Father, this is wanted. Give me this. I am your dear son." Or the wife says, "I am your dear wife. Please give me this. This is now needed." In this way, one is plundered by the thieves in the forest. Not knowing the aim of human life, one is constantly being misguided. ద ఎయిమ్ ఆఫ్ లైఫ్ ఈజ్ విష్ణు. అదేవిధ స్వార్థ గదికి విష్ణు. ఎవ్రీ వన్ వర్క్స్ వెరీ హార్డ్ టు ఎర్న్ మనీ, బట్ నో వన్ నోస్ దట్ హిస్ రియల్ సెల్ఫ్ ఇంట్రెస్ట్ ఈస్ ఇన్ సర్వింగ్ ద సుప్రీం పర్సనాలిటీ ఆఫ్ గాడ్ హెడ్. ఇన్స్టెడ్ ఆఫ్ స్పెండింగ్ మనీ ఫర్ అడ్వాన్సింగ్ ద కృష్ణ కాన్షియస్నెస్ మూవ్మెంట్, వన్ స్పెండ్స్ హిస్ హార్డ్ ఎర్న్ మనీ ఆన్ క్లబ్స్, బ్రోకర్స్, లిక్కర్ స్లాటర్ హౌసెస్ అండ్ సో ఫోర్త్. డ్యూ టు సింపుల్ యాక్టివిటీస్ వన్ బికమ్స్ implicated in the process of transmigration and thus has to accept one body after another. Being thus absorbed in a distressed condition, one never attains happiness. Om jnana timirantasya jnananjana shalakaya చక్షుర్ ఉన్మిలితం యేనా తస్మై శ్రీ గురవే నమః. శ్రీ చైతన్య మనోపీష్టం స్థాపితం యేన భూతలే స్వయం రూప కదా మహ్యం దదాతి స్వపదాంతికం. వందేహం శ్రీ గురు శ్రీయుతపదకమలం శ్రీ గురూన్ వైష్ణవాంశ శ్రీ రూపం సాగర జాతం సహగణారుగుణాధాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సావధూతం పరిజన సహితం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరామకృష్ణ పాదాన్ సహగణ లలిత శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ్చ. హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికాకాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరిప్రియే. వాంఛకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్యేవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జై శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే హరే, హరే రామ హరే రామ 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 హరే హరే. భూతైర్మహాభ్యుత్య ఇమా పురో విభూ నిర్మాయ చేతే దమూష పురుష భుంక్తే గుణషోడశ షోడశాత్మక సోలంకృషీష్ట భగవాన్ వశాంసి మే. హరే కృష్ణ. వాట్ ఎ పవర్ఫుల్ పర్ఫార్మ్, వాట్ ఎ పవర్ఫుల్ వర్స్. ఇఫ్ యూ హియర్ దిస్ అండ్ ఇఫ్ యూ ప్రెసెంట్ దిస్ టు న్యూ పీపుల్ దెన్ దేర్ విల్ బి హెల్ప్. People may want to reject Srimad Bhagavatam. Why such strong, merciless statements in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam? What is it mentioned? I will not read it again. After some time I will read it. Okay? So all the statements look very heavy. Why? There is a reason. First, we need to understand that we are in a dangerous place. But we don't find any danger in this place. What's wrong with this place? It's a place of enjoyment. It's a place to be. And after all, life is going all right. There are some problems. Life is going all right. So what is dangerous about this place at all? However, Bhagavad Gita explains, aprakasho apravartischa pramado mohamevacha tamasyetani jayanti pravrutthe kudinandana. In the 14th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that aprakasho apravartischa, there is a problem in the mode of darkness, the mode of ignorance, tamogun. What is that? One cannot see things as they are, unfortunately. It's like somebody being blindfolded. if things are projected to us in completely opposite way, that is pramada. So we think that the right things are wrong and the wrong things are right. Isn't it quite dangerous? So this is because of the influence of the mode of ignorance. And also, of course, passion also does the job. Then what happens? Pravartincha nivartincha jana no vidat asura. It's mentioned. Those who are of demoniac quality, they don't know what is pravarti and what is apravarti, nivarti. What should be done, what shouldn't be done. People in general do not know. Just look at the eating habits. We have come upon a point, the society doesn't know what to eat. Is it true, right? When you become devotee, then you understand what to eat. Just as simple as that. We don't know what to eat. You go to Swanson Street, you can see so many restaurants, hundreds of them. Most of them are selling abominable items. And most of the population goes for this abominable foodstuffs. People don't know what to eat. We are considered great at this point because pretty much Melbourne has about 11% vegan and vegetarian. But it is 11%. How about the rest 89%? Not eating proper things. So this is the reality. We don't know what to eat. As simple as that. What to speak about other things. Eating, mating, sleeping and defending. Don't know anything. So in that way, you see, we are not really doing that great. But animals have perfected these activities. Eating, mating, sleeping and defending. They know it well. We don't know, but they know it well. So that is the plight of the current human society. Then on top of that, it is mentioned, look, this is a dangerous place. Is there any danger in this place? Bhagavatam says there is always danger. Padam padam yat vipadam. Every step there is danger. It is true in every respect. If you analyze this point, in every respect which is true. Let's consider the most grossest one. Is there any financial security in this world? No. Yes, we consider security as finance, but is there any financial security in this world? No. Well, even if you go to the core of it, what we consider as money, it is just plastic. Previously it was gold. So it was, even before gold, it was the barter system. So, you have some produce, then you can exchange. So there is something tangible. Then it became gold, because gold is also considered great because it has some value attached to it. Some intrinsic value is there in gold. Then it became currencies, probably paper. So paper doesn't have much value. Now we have become synthetic, so it is plastic. And now we have gone even further. Now it is just digital. What does that mean? There is nothing tangible at all. Right? So if you talk about bank account, we have some numbers. If you take your smartphone or you take your computer, internet, you can see some digital stuff, but that's about it. If everything gets wiped out one day, what will happen? So we are looking in the core, not about losing jobs or anything like that. But the whole system can collapse in no time. As simple as that. So there is no security, it is vipadam. If you consider finance as a security, even that is in danger to the core, isn't it? So that is this world. So this is a place of danger in different ways. Let's consider the other extreme. How about our longevity? Is there any guarantee? No guarantee. We hear in the beginning of Bhagavatam, Parikshit Maharaj had 7 days to live. We don't even have that. So we can see there are dangers. At least when we come to Krishna consciousness, we understand, okay, there are some problems. At least we start accepting there are some problems in this world. At least theoretically, we don't still feel like that. Still, we accept to some degree, which is okay to start with. So in Srimad Bhagavatam wants to present this thing very clearly, very vividly, very graphically. And that's why this chapter and next chapter is especially entitled The Forest of Material Enjoyment. So it is said Bhava Atavi. Atavi means forest. Bhava means the material existence. So the whole material existence is compared to going to a forest. So now we consider a forest not too bad, right? It is pretty horrible. Going to the forest, going to the nature, it's good. But generally, these forests are not considered very safe because there are many wild animals. It's very dark, dense forest. Have you ever been to a forest? Real forest. Not, you know, if you go to the farm, you can go to the forest. You know, there is some reserve forest in there. That is nothing, right? Maybe some eucalyptus trees are there and a few things are there. No. If you really go to huge forest, hardly can you see things. Where the trees are so tall, huge, and they are so spread. And if you go to the tropical forest, you can see, hardly can you see things. Very dark and dense. And if you go further, you can see there are many wild animals. Here, the comparison is given of a merchant who is going to the forest in search of valuable things, so that he can collect those things and come out and he can sell and make a fortune. So he goes into the forest and looking for different things. But as he enters the forest, he goes deeper and deeper. There are a couple of problems going into the forest. One can lose the track. Even if you go to the reserve forest next to the farm, there are some devotees who lost themselves in the forest. Really. Because there is no phone signal. They went inside the forest, went deeper. After some time, all the directions look the same. All the directions are the same. Then don't know where to go. You know, left, right, north, east, whichever direction you turn, it's all the same. Everything looks the same. This is the problem with the forest. After some time, you don't know where you're going. So this is one danger with the forest. Second, on top of that, then there are ferocious animals who can come and eat. It's pretty gross. Being eaten by the animals. I don't know if you have seen that video. Probably I didn't see that video, but many devotees told me they watched that video. One person fell into a zoo. He was looking, he was doing all this dramas. Suddenly he fell inside the zoo where there were lions. Is the tigers or lions? Can you remember?
Lions.
Can you remember? You watched that video, right? Lions were there. And yeah, it was lion, that's right. And he was begging for his life. But lion got his meal. So was very hungry. Ate the person. Just that's it. Here. On the neck. Hold on the neck and that's the end of it. One bite. The person is finished. Can you see ferocious animals? They can eat. They can eat human beings and they are looking for that. Similarly, a merchant is being attacked in the forest and he doesn't know where to go. So this is compared to material existence. Why is it so? Why is material existence so dangerous? In fact, Nectar Devotion gives the example. A devotee is praying, I don't mind to be in the same cage with a tiger. Okay? Looks okay, right? You know, what kind of prayer is that? You know, I don't mind to be in the same cage with a tiger than to be in the association of materialistic people. How is that? Go to the next level. Okay. It is better to be in a cage with a tiger than in the association of materialistic people. So he explains that if one is with a tiger, one may be killed in one lifetime. But if one is inflicted with material desires, one will be killed in this material existence millions of lifetimes. So there is a catch to it. So it's not so foolish. Telling one may be killed once, but if one has material desires, then one has to come back and be killed, not just killed. One has to go through all the suffering of this world millions of lifetimes. So when this Acharya is present, these kind of things, they become very graphic to make the point. So that's why herein it is mentioned, about this merchant going to the forest and the troubles in the forest of material existence. And if you go further, first of all, there are plunderers mentioned, the thieves. Who are the thieves? Six thieves. Can anyone say? Who are the six thieves? Our five senses and the mind. Do they steal anything from us? Always they are stealing our valuable time, which can be used in serving Krishna, isn't it? Even if we are a devotee, we can see how our senses and mind are stealing our time. I'm not talking about the necessary duties that we had to perform, not about the work that we had to perform, or cleaning our body or helping others or study or whatever. Not that kind of thing. Even if we do the necessary things, even other times, our senses and mind are plundering us, demanding for unnecessary things. Isn't it? Mind can be very restless and demanding, obstinate, very powerful. We can see the six senses are acting on us all the time, and it can give us trouble all the time. And apart from that, it's mentioned, look, it becomes very graphic. Mentioned, one from family members, wife and children are compared to jackals. Okay, so one can become very offended. We can be either in the position of a parent or the son, right? Simultaneously. If I am a son of someone, and one can be the parent. But this is talking about materialistic household life, not devotee household life. It's completely different. Materialistic household life is compared to this, where one's own relatives are compared to jackals, and they are demanding, they want to eat our own self. Why? Because one can be just too demanding in a relationship, and one can take away everything. As one devotee was telling, one Indian Kiwi guy. So he met him, and this Mataji asked, okay, these are some books, Bhagavad Gita. So this person told straight away, are you Hare Rama, Hare Krishna? Okay, the Mataji was surprised, how this Western guy, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna. That's the typical of Indian way of saying it, right? Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna. So maybe Westerners, they say Hare Krishna probably, or Krishna or something like that. Hare Rama, Hare Krishna. So how do you know about us? So this person told, I had one Indian wife. And he started telling his story of suffering in that relationship. How he was being demanded so much, and this lady was just demanding. And he was telling, I was just working so hard. I made this, I did this, I did the other thing. Finally, complete dissatisfaction and left her. Now he's telling, okay, here we go. This is a Bhagavad Gita. You can start reading Bhagavad Gita. You understand something higher. Alright, so the relationship, materialistic relationship can be very, very demanding. So that's why it is mentioned. One can spend the whole time to fulfill the demands of the family in materialistic relationship. That's why when one becomes devotee, then the life is completely different, because life is focused on Krishna, and then one can control one's desires. Isn't it very important for devotees to set good examples? Don't think always about luxury apartments. Don't think we can use everything in Krishna service. That's not the purpose. Use what we have in Krishna service, but at the same time, one shouldn't desire unnecessarily, especially beyond one's capacity, because what happens? One is having to work too hard to get that. Even after obtaining all the things, still there is no satisfaction. The devotees have to be careful what one is desiring, because that can take away our valuable time, our valuable life. That's why when Prahlad Maharaj becomes very graphic when presenting these kind of things. Of course, this is a conversation between Rahugana and Jadabharat. However, when it comes to the conversation or the teachings of Prahlad Maharaj, he becomes very graphic about human form of life. He gives the analysis. You might have heard that. He says, in the initial years, one spent just playing around, right? If there are 100 years, he says that, you know, one can consider about 50% is going sleeping only, right? Or at least, if you want to be more specific, 1/3 is going sleeping, right? 24 hours, about 8 hours going sleeping only. And of the remaining, what happens? As childhood, it is wasted in playing around. Okay, devotee kids are different. But otherwise, just playing around. Nothing. And all day is gone. Right? All day you can't do anything. Invalid. And in between there are some time and lot of time is spent on materialistic education. And then to get a job, maintain family and all this entertainment and sense gratification, etc. And at the end of the day, there is no time left for the self, for the spiritual progress. So he gives this graphic analysis. How one wastes one's own time. The Pralhad Maharaj, you had to think. How old is the Pralhad Maharaj? 5 years. How old are you?
Nine.
You are 9. So think about Pralhad Maharaj. How old are you? Just 5 years old. Half of your age. You are also 9, right? 2 9s. But Pralhad Maharaj was just 5. And that time he is giving the full analysis of our life, telling how one is wasting one time in sleeping, in childhood playing around, in old age being invalid, then studying, then working, maintaining the family, sense gratification, life is finished. So he instructs his schoolmates. He says, don't be embarrassed by the old age. Very important, interesting point. 5-year-old boy is telling, you know, don't be embarrassed by the old age. Because in old age, whatever you think you were, it will be proved that you are not the same. Because all the faculties will not work, all the abilities you have, everything will be taken away. So don't get embarrassed by the old age. Rather, start devotion service now itself. Initially he said, you know, just start the Krishna consciousness now itself. It's a good time. Because now is the best time. Kaumaram aatse pratna dharman bhagavata niha adullabham manushan janam tadabhi adhuvam arthadam. Kaumaram aatse pratna. Now, Kaumaram. In the tender age of 5, you start Krishna consciousness. So you can see so many kids are very fortunate. From birth, you have started your Krishna consciousness. Both of you are same, right? You are also same, you know. You started, when you were born, you started your Krishna consciousness. So that is the benefit of devotee association. So the whole thing is not really applicable for devotees, but the essence has to be taken by devotees as well. But otherwise you can see the life is just gone. And then he says, so many verses are there in the teachings of Pralhad Maharaj. Yanmai dhinadi ghamedi sukham hitucham kanduyalena karyoriva dukha dukham tripendya neha grupano bahudukha bhaja Kanduryavan manasijam vishahedantira. Very strong verse by Pralhad Maharaj. Just like the verse of here. What is that? Yan maidhinati guhamedhi sukham hi tuchham. That sensual enjoyment in family life, it is considered tuchham. What is the meaning of tuchham? Insignificant. So he says, the enjoyment is tuchham. Very minimal. What else is there? Kanduyanevana karyoriva dukha dukham. He says, Kanduyanevana karyoriva dukha dukham. It's a very classic example. He explains about itching. The sense gratification, Pralhad Maharaj compares to itching. Itching sensation. You know, itching, right? You feel like itching the leg, for example. You feel like, you know, I just want to do it, right? Itching. Once you itch, you get some satisfaction, isn't it? If you're itching, and you know, especially if you're doing something, your hand is, say, assume you're cooking, say you're making the dough, okay? So your hand is completely in the dough, and you cannot touch your body and it feels itching. And what happens is, I really want to itch, right? You really want to itch, somehow you clean your hand and you start itching. Then you feel really good, isn't it? Really, if you're itching, if you itch, it's really good, pleasurable. But after itching, what you feel, if you take the hand out, then you feel like itching more. You keep itching, after some time you look your skin, it becomes reddish.
then still you feel like it's good to itch. But if you keep itching, what happens? It can become a wound. And then it's only pain. Then you cannot itch. If you itch, it is only painful, right? So the sense gratification, especially between man and woman, it is considered like itching. So initially it's like, you know, it's very pleasurable, right? Oh, it's so good. That's a mode of passion. It is so wonderful. And then eventually it turns into pain. So he says, kanduryanena karyoriva dukkha dukkha. One pain after the next pain. It's a painful situation. So one may indulge in these activities, but there are so many responsibilities that comes upon. It's not, life is not all about sense gratification. One may think like that, one can see the things which are unfolding in due course of time. So he said, he mentioned that kanduyanena karyoriva dukkha dukkham. Then he mentioned tripyanti neha, there is no satisfaction. Don't think that there is any satisfaction in this world. So he said tripyanti neha bahudukha bhaja. Oh, not one dissatisfaction, bahudukha bhaja. One is afflicted with so many different kinds of suffering. Bahudukha bhaja. So what is the mention? What is the mention? Then he mentioned the instruction. What is the instruction? Kanduryavat manasijam visaheva dhira. This sense gratification is from the mind. Mind is telling, if I do this activity, I will be satisfied. If I do that, I will be satisfied. This is simply manasijam. It is just the product of the mind. It is not really given to us happiness. And he says, kantu manasijam visaheda dhiraha. One who is sober, visaheda, tolerate. How to tolerate? One is come to the mode of goodness. Goodness is very important. So, if sense gratificatory thoughts are coming to the mind, then just relax a bit. Don't act on it immediately. That is goodness. First step, you know, just relax. I'll give you, but for the time being, just relax. First step. Then engage in Krishna service. So that is visheda dhira. One who is sober, one has to tolerate this itch of sense gratification. It's very important for everyone to understand this point. And that's why it's mentioned. Otherwise, we will also get into the same cycle of repeated birth and death, the repeated suffering. So Prahlad Maharaj, this 5-year-old boy, he is presenting such a profound statement that Vishaheda Dhiraha, just tolerate. This is Bhagavad Gita. After understanding Dehinosun Yatha Dehe Kaumaram, you know that verse, right? Do you know that verse, sir? No, he doesn't know. Okay, later. So after presenting that verse, next verse, what does Krishna say? He said, Mata Sparshastra Kaunteya. You tolerate. He's called, etc. When you come to the spiritual platform, when you start chanting Hare Krishna, then learn to tolerate. Take it easy. So that's what Prahlad Maharaj also says. He explains this very graphically. So for a devotee, it's very much required, very much applicable. So for devotee, family is not an obstruction if one is serious in Krishna consciousness. If one is not serious, it is an obstruction. Straight away it is an obstruction, because one will have to go through the same points that is mentioned. One can be easily be diverted from the real goal of life. And why the family life is always pointed? You know, one can go, is it a sideline family life or anything? Because if you see the Bhagavad, all the examples are about family life. So why it is mentioned? The reason is there is easy chance of getting diverted. Very easy chance of getting diverted, because one has to deal with all the objects of sense gratification. So that is family life. So since that is there, so the warning is given as well. Other ashrams like Brahmacharya, Vanaprastha, Sannyas is not given. Why? Because these ashrams do not exist if there is no some amount of mind and sense control. One cannot stay in that ashram, one has to leave those ashrams. But in Grihastha ashram, to some degree one can push on. Even though things are not really in control, still one can push on. So that's why it is mentioned the danger. One can be in one's own world. Other ashrams are public ashrams. Renounced ashrams are public ashrams. Because if one is not doing well, it will be pointed out pretty much straight away. because one is meant to do certain things and everyone knows what I am supposed to do. One is supposed to get up and chant. If one is not doing that, immediately you will be noticed because, oh yeah, this Prabhu is not in the temple room, this Brahmachari is not in the temple room, it will be immediately noticed. Such devotees are not there for the Bhagavad class. Why? Right? It will become very noticed and not in question straight away. But other ashrams, there are some kind of independence. So, one may remain unnoticed. And so there is danger in it. So that's why it is being pointed out again and again. However, when we come to Krishna consciousness, we need to understand about this plunderers a bit more deeply. So, Raghunath Das Goswami, he mentions about the enemies of the mind. He says, when a devotee performs sadhana, we are chanting Hare Krishna mantra, we are following the regulatory principles, we are coming to the temple, we are seeing the beautiful form of the Lord, we are chanting and dancing in kirtan, we are having wonderful prasadams, the life is going good. Sometimes we feel like, you know, life is going good. As a devotee, it is good. One has to be happy in Krishna consciousness. One shouldn't suffer in Krishna consciousness. Okay? If somebody is suffering in Krishna consciousness, there is something wrong in the practice. One has to understand. So a devotee is going well in Krishna consciousness. Everything is okay. Then, it is mentioned, it is like a traveler who is traveling in a highway. So highway, one is driving, everything is smooth. Car is full, one is happy, just driving. This is how one is moving forward in Krishna consciousness. Then it is mentioned, there are decoys on this highway. They can stop the car and they can take away whatever we have. Do you know what are they? Who are these plunderers for a devotee who is making progress in Krishna consciousness? Yes, that's why the enemies of the mind, lust, anger, greed, madness, envy, anger, you know, you can see all these kind of things. They come to our mind. Then what happens? Then when these thoughts come, all of a sudden, the plunderers, they don't say, they will not give you a notice, I'm going to come and plunder you in half an hour. They will not give. They just come. In the same way, lust will come. Knock on the door, here I am, please satisfy me. Here I am, and if you don't satisfy me, you are going to be unsatisfied. This is how the lust will tell you, they will preach to you. If you do this, if you think about this, you are going to be very happy, you are going to be satisfied. And if you don't do that, life is going to be miserable. So this is a plunderer. It's coming, the dacoit is coming to your mind. And then what happened? The hard-earned credit of Krishna consciousness and hard-earned sense control and some taste for Krishna, it is just taken away. Can you see that? Isn't it applicable in our own life? We may have some taste in chanting Krishna's name, doing some service. Some enemies come in our mind, some material desires will come so strongly that our taste is taken away. All of a sudden, everything is gone. Again, we had to work hard. So, Raghunath Das Goswami called them as plunderers, the dacoits, the highway dacoits, highway thieves who come and steal everything from us. So, we have to be on guard in Krishna consciousness. It's very important. We have to be on guard in our Krishna consciousness. When these kind of thoughts come, we have to take it easy. Don't act upon that. And don't give our mind completely to that. Rather, take a break and engage our mind in some Krishna activity. It is very important. Act in Krishna consciousness. Divert our mind. It is very important because otherwise they can take away our hard-earned credit in Krishna consciousness. And it goes all of a sudden. Right? If one is afflicted by any of these negative qualities, we don't even feel like opening Bhagavatam and reading. Right? It is so powerful. That's why there are so many warnings about this plunderer who can straight away come and attack us. And so we need to be in the association of the devotees and we need to be in regulation. Regulation means we know I'll get up, I'll chant my rounds. Doesn't matter what I feel like. Whether I feel good, bad, whatever, doesn't matter. I'll get up and chant my rounds. and I will chant attentive rounds. And this is my dedicated time to hear about Krishna. I will hear about Krishna, I will read about Krishna. In that way, when we develop some regulation, that is the mode of goodness. When we develop some regulation, it is easier to deal with the mind. Then we immediately know, if we chant some attentive rounds, you know the difference. Even if mind is completely going here and there and quite agitated, you bring your mind and start hearing Krishna's names, you find a huge relief. Have you ever experienced? If you are feeling really bad, not good at all, just hear Krishna's name, as simple as that, one can immediately feel the relief, isn't it? So, the process is in our hand. Read Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita with some attention, immediately you can feel the relief. Here, the lectures about Krishna, immediately you can feel the relief. And if mind is so agitated, one cannot do anything, have some nice Mahaprasada. Immediately one can feel the relief. So I was speaking to one devotee, he was eating a lot of sweets. I asked, why are you doing? He said, the mind is so disturbed. So I am taking some solace in Mahaprasada. Not bad. Right? Rather than indulging in sense gratification, taking some solace in Krishna Prasadam. Think, okay, Krishna is going to give me shelter through Prasadam. Very good. But take shelter of Krishna and immediately we can feel the relief. It is immediate. Krishna's relief is immediate. So the only thing what we had to do is we had to just call upon Krishna. That's all. Anytime if we find difficulties, just call upon Krishna. So that is the mercy of Krishna, that is the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. He gave His mercy. Yes, straight away giving the taste of Krishna. We are hearing that Chaitanya Charitamrita seminar by Damodara Maharaj. He was mentioning this point. Lord Chaitanya first taste, then surrender. Krishna first surrender, then taste. So that taste is there, readily available. Only we have to do, just take it. Very simple. As Prabhu said, simple for the simple, complex for the complex. So take it easy. You know, just press the button on your phone, start listening a lecture. Right? You know, radio is there, radio app is there, or YouTube is there. Just press the button, you can hear Bhagavatam, immediately mind will change. Isn't it? It's so simple. Okay, any questions or any comments?
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Yeah, a lot of pessimism is there, thinking Bhagavatam or whatever it is. But materialistically, a lot of optimism is there. You know, they went to sky, something like that. The saints are there so that they will give some sort of encouragement. But how to bring that optimism in this philosophy?
A devotee has to be pessimistic about material life. A devotee has to be pessimistic about material life. Don't be optimistic about material life. A devotee has to train one's mind to be pessimistic about material life. Bhagavatam is helping in that process. Especially these verses of this couple of chapters will help us to be pessimistic about material life. Prabhupada said, only an animal is optimistic about material life. Can you do that? Only an animal is optimistic about material life. Very strong statement. In material, everything is going to go, isn't it? Everything is going to go. Are we going to have anything? Nothing. Everything will go. So, it is pessimistic. So, what is the optimism? Optimism is about spiritual life. So, every devotee should see the life as an opportunity to serve Krishna. That is optimistic. An opportunity to serve Krishna. So we can see in every stage of life, one can serve Krishna. Even if one is invalid, still one can serve Krishna by chanting Krishna's name. So for a devotee can be active all the time, externally or internally. There is no pessimism for a devotee. It is only optimism as one advances about spiritual life. That's why Prabhupada Sarasvati Thakur. Prabhupada Sarasvati Thakur is an interesting person. He was initiated into Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. He was living in Srirangam. He was the relative of Venkata Bhatta, you know, the past time, right? When Mahaprabhu went to South India, he spent time in Sri Lanka. So in Sri Lanka, he lived in the house of Venkata Bhatta. So there was the relative of Venkata Bhatta who was Prabhadananda Saraswati. So Prabhadananda Saraswati, his name was not Prabhadananda Saraswati. He got the association of Mahaprabhu, and then he became a great devotee of Krishna. Before, he was a devotee of Narayana, and now he became a devotee of Krishna, and he developed intense attraction for Vrindavan. So Mahaprabhu sent Prabhadananda Saraswati Thakur to Vrindavan, and then he lived the rest of his life in Vrindavan, and he has written many, many verses glorifying Vrindavan, even glorifying the dust of Vrindavan. So he got into the Braj mood. He got into the Vrindavan mood, and he became a great devotee in Vrindavan. So he mentions this famous verse. It is all about contradiction. Okay. So you might have heard this verse. Kaivalyam narakayate. Have you heard this verse? Sridashapura akasha pushpayate. He says, Kaivalyam narakayate. The Jnanis and Yogis are mainly after impersonal liberation and Brahmananda. But a devotee says that Kaivalyam narakayate. What he says? He says that impersonal liberation is just like life in hell. Kaivalyam narakayate. Tridashapura akasha pushpayate. This karmakanda is there after heavenly pleasure. But for a devotee, it is like Akasha Pushpa, means Sandal Smagoria. Akasha Pushpa means, have you ever seen flowers dropping from the sky? Instead of rain, have you seen the flowers dropping? You haven't seen. So he says, for them, it is just an imagination. Material pleasure and heavenly pleasure are simply imaginations. Tridashapura Akasha Pushpayate. Then, Dushtandendriya Prokhada Kadali Damshrayate. That is, the venomous serpents of senses become the serpents without fangs, without the poisonous teeth. Because the senses are not going to give trouble to a devotee if one is advanced enough. And then he mentions that the whole world becomes a place of happiness. That is, Vishwam Purna Sukhayate. Vishwam Purna Sukhayate. The whole world becomes the place of happiness. How is that? A place of happiness. So we are always talking about what is the place of suffering, etc. We all had this discussion. Now, Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur explains that Vishwam Purna Sukhayate, not just a little bit of happiness, it's a place of complete happiness. Why he says? Because for a devotee, it's a place of happiness because one is able to perform devotional service. Then he says, for whom? One who has obtained the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Such contradictions become reality for a person who has obtained the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. So this is the statement of Prabhupada Saraswati Thakur. So, for a devotee, nothing is an obstruction. If one's mind and senses are controlled and we engage in Krishna service, then nothing is an obstruction. Family is not an obstruction. This verse is talking about family as an obstruction very clearly. But for a devotee, family is not an obstruction. Rather, family can help us in our Krishna consciousness. It's very important. So for family people, it is important that the whole family marches forward in Krishna Bhakti. One shouldn't think family as an obstruction, but one should see that how everyone can make progress in Krishna consciousness. So it's not about individual progress, but it is about collective progress. So a devotee is pessimistic, or one has to train oneself to be pessimistic in material life, but one has to train oneself to think that one is completely optimistic about spiritual life. Makes sense? Any other questions or comments or concerns? Yes. Okay. Who are you referring to? The question is, if I find myself happy and I find people around me happier, then how can I see misery in this world? Is that the question? Okay. This is a very good question. This is the question she is asking, but the whole world is asking the same question. The whole world is asking the same question. I am happy. People around me, they are also happy. What's the problem in this world? Why are you seeing all these kind of things? Right? So Bhagavatam wants to open our eyes more. Says that initially we may think that, okay, we may be happy. We may see apparently people around us as happy. But if you go deeper into their life, they are not really happy. That's a deeper point. You may find at this point to understand it properly. But others can easily understand. You start speaking to someone, all these happy people, you start really speaking to happy people, after some time, they will start speaking the truth. Then there will be an endless list of suffering. Initially it's about happiness, then there will be an endless list of suffering. So we know that the happiness is very shallow. When you speak to kids, you will not understand initially, but as you grow up, you understand this point. Immediately it will be difficult. But there are some points you can also understand. Even though we may be happy, still, do you see people get sick? Yes. Do the people go to hospitals? Yes. Hospitals are full? Yes. Have you heard about Corona? COVID-19? Yes. Have you heard people dying because of the disease? See, so is there suffering in this world? Okay. So you can see, is there anyone in this world who will not die? No. See, even she knows the truth. So the world of suffering, isn't it? Everyone has to suffer, isn't it? So that's where you can see that this world is full of suffering. We can see some happiness here there, but when you go to the depth, then we can see so suffering. So our happiness has to be in connection with Krishna. Doing Krishna service, doing Kirtan, hearing Bhagavatam, then that's the real suffering, because that, so the real happiness, because that happiness we can take away with us. All the time it is with us. So that's the difference. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Right. Any other questions or comments? Okay. Okay. Thank you. Grandra Shimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Prabhupada Ki Jai, Jai Jai.